Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Well, it's been one hell of a week. A lot of turmoil out there, a lot of bad things happening, a lot of scary things. It looks like the world might be on the brink of war. I think that might be exaggerating a bit, but this is what I hear on television, on the radio, read in the newspapers. So before I get into the Ukraine, Crimea, Russia, the United States, and all that's going on over in that part of the world, let's talk about something light tonight, something that'll make you feel good and feel happy, and some other things that are a bit wacky and a bit crazy, but nothing as serious as being on the brink of war. Remember, this is a call-in show. If you wish to call in and talk with me, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I wish to start the show tonight with the Jacob Barnett story. Jacob Barnett's story. This is his life. Jacob was born autistic. Had a very difficult time learning, was not learning, in fact, in regular school, had to be put into a special education class. He did not do well even in special education. He seemed to be reverting. He was withdrawing within himself. He was, in effect, he was going into his mind, and he was forgetting there was an outside world. His mother, his father, they were panicking, especially the mother. Things were pretty bad, and the doctors even told the parents that Jacob would never be able to learn to even tie his shoes. Wow. Okay, now, the mother took him on a trip. He was about 10, 11 years old. His mom and dad took him on a trip out of town to a strange community. Excuse me. When they returned home, there was Jacob sitting on the living room floor. He had a box of Q-tips. He was playing with them. And with the Q-tips, he designed the streets of the community they had visited. Each and every street they were on, he had in perfect order, perfect intersections, and so forth. Not only did he do that, he also labeled by name those streets. This was a young man who was not talking. He hadn't communicated for months with anyone. He was withdrawing again into himself, into the depths of his mind. And his mother looked at him and said, how can my kid be stupid, dumb, or whatever they're saying? He's not going to be able to even tie his shoelaces. So finally, his mother had it. She took him out of the fifth grade, took him out of special ed. He was in the fifth grade special ed, took him out. And she started working with him at home. Nothing significant, but trying to bring him out of that state of mind. They took a trip to some place. You know, you go into these auditoriums today in big cities where you can sit in a barca lounge type chair and you lean back, and there above you on the ceiling is the sky, the whole anatomy of the sky, the stars, the planets, the shooting stars. And he laid there and he watched, and of course they had someone lecturing to the people who were there and telling them this is the planet, so forth, and that's the shooting star, so forth, et cetera, et cetera. And he just laid there and he watched and he listened. This boy is not talking, understand you. This boy is receding into his mind. He is not communicating. And when the presentation had ended, the lecturer asked a question, and the question was deep. The question was profound. I can't give it to you word for word. I don't even remember right now, but I know what I read more than once. The question was profound and required someone who had an understanding of those stars and the moon and the heavens and everything else to respond. And Jacob Barnett opened his mouth. Okay, this kid's about 11 years old. He opened his mouth, and he gave a very professional, intellectual, profound response. Everyone was shocked. He knew the subject matter as well as, if not better, than the lecturer. He had never been exposed to anything like this, except in the previous 20 or 30 minutes that it took to put on the show. And he gave this very deep, detailed response as to why things were the way they were. Now the mother's really saying, oh boy, I got it. I know he's going to be okay. Well, it turns out that she pursued, she pushed, she did things with him. And now, you know what the doctors say? The doctors and the therapists, they all say that his IQ, and they know what his IQ is now, is higher than that of Albert Einstein's. You heard me. His IQ is higher than that of Albert Einstein's. He has had a complete change. He's only four. Stay with me. He's 15 years old today. He learned all his high school math under his mother's tutoring, and thereafter professionally, in 2 weeks. He learned all his high school math in 2 weeks. A boy who was, his parents were told would never be able to tie his shoes. He has completed college already at the age of 14. He is 15 now, and he is getting a PhD, a doctor's degree in physics, at a very special place for the special people in this world who are there, that intelligent, the Waterloo Premier Institute for Theoretical Physics. It's the only school of its kind in the world. It's for the most promising physicists in the world. His mother, he's 15 years old now. He's getting his PhD. His mother recently wrote a book, which is being made into a movie, The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius. You got to give the mother credit. She wouldn't let her son recede. She would not let her son leave this world. She would not let her son die from reality. She took his life into her own hands, as it should. Mothers know best. And she put him on the road to what he is today at the age of 15. Remember, his IQ already, his IQ is higher than that of Albert Einstein's, and it is predicted that Jacob someday will probably win a Nobel Prize. Okay, let's move on to something called polygamy. Let's have several wives. We're in the state of Utah. Things are changing in Utah with regard to polygamy. You will recall that polygamy is illegal or was illegal in the state of Utah. A man could not have multiple wives. Well, the law has changed. There was a federal court decision several months ago in a case involving a Cody Brown who had four wives. And the decision came down in this federal court case in December. The judge said the laws against polygamy in the state of Utah are struck down. He said they don't apply, they're not constitutional, and he decriminalized polygamy. Remember, you've seen in the last few years people going to jail in Utah for polygamy. The only exception to polygamy being illegal is if the husband and wife, if you have one spouse and you have a marriage certificate, you can't get a marriage certificate for the second, third, or fourth, or fifth wife because it's against the law to be married civilly to more than one person at the same time. And in Utah, the civil marriage is legally recognized by the birth certificate. It's of no consequence. Just don't get the birth certificate. Have the minister marry you. Anybody wants to marry you. In God's eyes and really in the state's eyes, except if you get the birth certificate, you are legally married. Well, now along comes Brady Williams. Not the guy who had the lawsuit. This is Brady Williams. Brady's had five wives. He still has five wives. And 24 children through the five wives. This guy's got to be nuts, I'm going to tell you right now. I had a hard enough time, and I don't say this specifically, I say it in a humorous sense. I had a hard enough time with one wife. And I think one wife, who wants multiple wives, whether you're the woman or the man? And 24 children, how can you help them with homework? I'm serious. This is like an impossible situation. Well, they've been living that way very successfully for a number of years, but they were in the closet, just like gay people were in the closet. But now since the decision in the Cody Brown case, Brady Williams and his family, his five wives, have come out of the closet. And guess what's happening? Financial success is going to fall upon their shoulders. He, his five wives and 24 children have been signed up and are in the process right now of doing a reality television show. 9 episodes. The pilot will show in September, okay? Brady Williams says he does not have multiple wives. He is not a polygamist because it's a religious thing. It's not religion. He says, I'm not that good a religious person. He says, I just happen to like the lifestyle. He likes it. It's funny, too. He likes having 5 wives. And he feels he's protected now because of this federal case, unless somehow it gets overturned if someone appeals it and so forth. But he just likes having 5 wives. I think he's nuts. Okay, moving on, still staying with the lighter stuff. What I'm going to talk to you about now happened in Treviso, T-R-E-V-I-S-O, in northern Italy. There was a neighboring city to Treviso, Vincenza. Okay, now a 70-year-old man, he's a father, 70 years old, he has a 40-year-old son. He liked to play around a little bit. He lived in Treviso. So he went to the neighboring city of Vincenza, and he called up an escort service on the telephone. And he asked for a young lady, a prostitute, to come to his room, his hotel room, so he could have sex with her. When he opened the door to the hotel room, guess who it was? It was his son's fiancée, his daughter-in-law-to-be. Well, they didn't do anything, the girl and her father-in-law-to-be. They talked, but they didn't do anything. Now, the issue, the girl, by the way, is South American. She was supposedly a waitress. The son knew nothing about this. The father didn't know till that night. The mother didn't know. Only the girl knew that she was a hooker on the side. What a dilemma for the father. What would you do if you were the father here? Would you tell your son or not tell your son? If you do tell your son, are you helping him or hurting him? If you don't tell him and it comes up after they're married, it's going to ruin his life in all likelihood. Devastation upon a whole family, probably. What do you do? This was the father's dilemma. Well, the father did what he thought was correct. He told his son. He sat him down and he told him. The son was furious. This 40-year-old son was furious. The father said, you know, don't kill the messenger. I'm just bringing you the message. I'm trying to help here. Well, the son was so mad, the father and son got in an argument. They both got mad at each other. They had a fight, a fist fight. And the father got the better of the son. 70-year-old father got the better physically of his 40-year-old son. The son sued his father for his injuries. I don't know what the injuries were, but apparently they were significant. The case came up in court this week in Italy for trial. The judge tried to settle the case. He could not. The son is hard-ass. He wants his tribute, his pound of flesh. He wants his dollars, his money settlement. I don't know what happened to the girl. I couldn't determine it from my research. But the father and son are at each other's throats. The son is at the father's throat now. My question that I raised initially and the question I raised now, what would you have done under similar circumstances? I would have told my son and let the chips fall where they may. I would have felt that was an obligation I had. There are some things you cannot walk away from if you are a responsible parent, and this was something requiring, I think, responsibility. Now, we got one more light thing before we get into Crimea and Ukraine. I want to talk about the CIA, the NSA, and the United States Senate Intelligence Committee. As you have read in the last 24 hours, as you have heard relentlessly on the news shows on television, the CIA has been spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee. I say good for the CIA because here's why. Listen to me. I think it's wrong, the NSA, the National Security Agency, the way they spy, the CIA is part of this. It's wrong how they spy. I'm talking about wrong how they spy on us, the citizens of the United States. Ever since 9/11, which was 13 years ago, they bug our telephones. You know, they bug our emails. They have cameras hidden like you won't know where. I did a show on my television program about 2 or 3 years ago. There is also a brand name TV manufacturer that builds into the set a camera in the screen. And whoever buys that, whatever goes on, let's assume the TV set's in your bedroom and you and the spouse watch it while you're in bed. They see everything that goes on. This is the NSA doing this. And the manufacturer somehow was required to do it, cannot make public that they are doing it. No one knows which TV set it is, but that's what the government's doing to us. Now, something's gone amiss here. Something's wrong. Something's upside down in this country. Snowden, you can love him, you can hate him, I don't know, but at least he brought it to a head. Whether he should pay for it or not is another question, but he brought to a head the spying that's going on in this country. Not healthy. And we spy on Merkel, you know, the Prime Minister of Germany. We spy on that. We bug the telephone of the President of Brazil. You can't do these things. Now, Senator Feinstein of California has been the chairperson of the Senate Intelligence Committee for a number of years. She has supported the NSA and the CIA and all the secret things they do, saying it has to be done because we have to protect ourselves ever since 9/11, 13 years ago, my friends. Well, I want to ask you something. I want to tell you something. Every time the NSA has been asked, what have you done? What have you accomplished? What have you succeeded at in the last 13 years that you can show us? Proof, hard rock, concrete proof. You can show the American people something you did that protected us from another 9/11. And you know, we've never gotten the answer because there is no answer, we have been told. It hasn't happened yet. Okay, put all that aside. Senator Feinstein's been the greatest supporter of the CIA and the NSA. No more, because in the last 24 hours she has revealed that the CIA has been bugging the computers of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Now understand, the Senate Intelligence Committee, one of its responsibilities is to oversee the CIA. The CIA is subordinate to the Senate Intelligence Committee. The Senate Intelligence Committee makes sure that the CIA conducts themselves pursuant to law. Now they're finding out they're not. They're bugging their own boss, okay? This is big time. I think there's 6,000 or 7,000 pages involved in this thing. No one is safe from this hand, which is now this hand, the mind, the operations that come into our telephones, our homes, our bedrooms, and everything else. No one is safe, not even the boss of the NSA and the CIA. And let me tell you something, my friends. We better get our asses in gear and straighten this problem out. Because, you know, people say, well, I have nothing to hide. I don't care. Listen, I practiced law for 50 years. I was in some pretty heavy litigations. I was involved in litigations where there were governmental agencies involved. And let me tell you something. When they look at you, and you got nothing to hide, I mean, here's the husband. Maybe he's had a meretricious relationship. He's had a girlfriend, and he's been calling her a long distance for 5 years. She lives in another town. Occasionally took a trip on his American Express card with her, unbeknownst to the wife. Or maybe his wife. She's screwing around on the Internet at night on the computer after her husband's in bed or when he's away on one of these trips, and she's showing her body naked in these chat rooms to another guy. Now, each of these things hurts only the spouse. It does not hurt anyone else, really. But now the investigation comes on. The next-door neighbor, the FBI, or somebody wants to know about him. And they go to this couple who have had this bad track record, I would call it, and they start squeezing him and saying, look, you better tell us if you know anything about this guy. You say you don't, but tell us. There must be something. Or we're going to reveal to your wife what you did and to the wife that we're going to tell your husband what you did. We're going to let your kids know. We're going to let the community know. And they pressure. Everyone has something to hide. Everyone has a skeleton in the closet. None of us is without sin. That's why the good book says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So I'm glad this has come up, and I hope this straightens things out. and somebody puts their hand in their ass on the NSA and the CIA, because this ain't the way the United States government should run itself. Okay, now we're going to go into Crimea, the Ukraine, and I'm not going to talk basically about things you already know. I'm going to hit on four or five things that I think are interesting and exciting. First of all, let me tell you that already the Ukraine banks are being looted by American and European banks. You heard me. Euro banks and American banks are already looting the banks in the Ukraine. Ukraine needs, they say, $15 billion, not Crimea, Ukraine, to survive, meet their obligations and all this stuff. The United States has agreed to give them $1 million, or we're in the process of finalizing the agreement. Europe, the Euro Union, is talking about giving them $11 billion. So the monies they're going to get are going to come from two places, the Euro Union and the United States. However, you have to understand this. The money that the Euro Union banks loan, most of it comes from American banks. So we got our hands in everybody's pocket. We loan the money to the Euro banks, we loan the money to the Ukraine, okay? All right. Normally, when a country like the Ukraine is in trouble, as they are, one country will give them the money as a gift, not as a loan. Or if they give it as a loan, the payment plan is so far out, 50 years or something, it's extended, because the country giving knows they are never going to get that money back. All right? They just do it for the paperwork involved. But not here. Not here. Because under the agreements being put together already between the Euro nations and the Ukraine and the United States and these banks and the Ukraine, austerity is coming into place. The same squeeze, the same austerity that the Euro banks imposed on Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain, Turkey, Cyprus, they're doing it again. They're saying, we're going to give you the money, but we got to get paid back. And we got to get paid back in a timely fashion. We can't wait forever for our money. This is your American banks behind the scene. This is your Euro nation banks, okay? It seems, or it appears, that the Ukrainian people have a pension plan. It's a government pension plan. They get $160 a month, the people, when they retire. I don't know if that's a lot of money in the Ukraine or not. It may very well be, but it's $160 a month. Already, the banks have told the Ukraine that if these loans go through, that the pensions will have to be cut by 50% to $80, from $160 to $80. Why? Because the banks want to be sure they're going to get paid. I mean, we can't screw around. We got to get paid. And what makes me laugh is, how are they getting paid? How are our American banks going to get repaid? How are the Euro nation banks going to get repaid? They're going to get repaid at the expense of the poor, because it's the poor people with the pensions for $160 a month that are going to be cut to $80 a month. I ask you, what has ever happened to helping people, okay? Whatever happened to that outright gift or extended payments? I'm going to label the banks the same way I have been labeling them for the past 3 years, in writing, on this show, on my television show. The banks are whores. The banks brought this country down. They brought Europe down. The banks, which were too big to fail, the banks, which were too big to prosecute, not one big banker has gone to jail for all the terrible things they did. They're paying billion-dollar fines, but nobody gets prosecuted. No one goes to jail. Put one of these people in jail once. No one will ever do it again for the next 25, 30 years in this country, what these bankers have done. They're whores, and they're going to get away with it again, this time to the detriment of the Ukraine. Which brings me to a further point concerning the Ukraine, and that is this. Obama and Putin are playing chicken. They're playing chicken. You got two big guys standing there. They're like two kids looking at each other, and I can picture Putin now stripped to his waist, not wearing a shirt. And one guy saying to the other, I'm going to hit you if you do this. If you do that, then I'm going to hit you back. They are playing chicken. You hit me first, then I'll hit you. No, I'm waiting for you to hit me. This is a macho game. Putin and Obama are playing a macho game. The problem is the whole world could end up paying the price for this macho game if one of them gets pissed off and we end up in a war. And there is that possibility. I don't think from our end, but from Russia's end. Which brings me now to a fellow by the name of Dmytro Yarosh, Y-A-R-O-S-H, Dmytro Yarosh. Dmytro is the head of the neo-Nazi party. He's the leader of the neo-Nazi party in Ukraine. It was announced this week. He is running for president of the Ukraine. He could win. Neo-Nazi parties are on the rise in Europe and have been for many years. I've spoken many times of what is occurring in Greece, and I'm telling you, when Greece has their next popular election, the Nazi party will move up at least to two, if not number one, in number of votes. And if they're one or two, they're going to control that government because it's coalition government. The people are fed up. The people have been screwed around enough in Greece. They will take anybody, even a Hitler type, because Hitler did this. He's going to give them food on their table again, give them jobs, give them dignity, and so forth. Now, this neo-Nazi party, they're neo-Nazis. They say Heil Hitler. They wear the swastika on their arm. They wear brown shirts. They carry the German-type flag, okay? They also, obviously, because they are in the Ukraine part and not the Crimea part, they dislike the Russians. They dislike the communists. They hate the Jews. They're out there persecuting Jews also. This is what's happening. This guy's running for president. He could win over there. Bad times, bad things are happening. Now, I have a solution to this whole problem. Not that I'm a genius, but I have a solution to this Ukrainian, Russian Crimea problem, and this is what I would do. Russia has a lot of oil and gas. 75% of Russia's income comes from their oil and gas exports. To get the oil and gas out of Russia to the rest of Europe, to Asia, to the United States, because we buy from them too, the pipelines first, all of them, first must go through the Ukraine. The pipelines must go through the Ukraine. They're already there. They're pumping the gas. They're pumping the oil. If I was the Ukraine, I very simply would disengage, blow up a few of those pipelines. I would do it. And I would announce immediately to the world and specifically to Russia, the rest of them, we know you can bomb the hell out of us. You're bigger than us. You can destroy us. But we have them all ready for immediate explosion. We will press the button if you don't get your asses out of our country. The time has come to end this. Russia cannot live without the income from their gas and oil exports. And when you play with a bully, you have to stand up to a bully, and you got to meet him head on. And that's something that I would do. I don't see how it would start a war, because if there was a war, then Russia definitely would not have access to oil, not even for them, would have access to the income from the oil and the gas. And they could not sustain the war. The last thing about this whole thing, Putin and Crimea and all this, did you know that Putin was recently nominated this past week for the Nobel Peace Prize? Would you believe it? A Russian advocacy group says he should receive the Nobel Peace Prize for the peaceful resolution to the Syrian U.S. dispute over chemical weapons. Because of Putin, a Syrian-United States war was avoided. This is where the world's going. He's becoming a big guy, my friends. He's becoming the hero because we just aren't functioning right in this country anymore. Obama's not doing what he should do. What it is, I don't know. It's beyond my pay grade, all this stuff, but something's wrong someplace. That's my show for this week. I hope you found it interesting. I enjoyed putting this together. I'll be back again next week, and I look forward to speaking with you at that time. Please join me. Good night. Have a good week.